The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com. In your Bibles, Hebrews chapter number 11, I'm going to ask you to read several verses with me this morning as we continue our series, By Faith. As we continue this summer looking all of the messages we've been looking at Hebrews chapter 11. And for those who haven't joined us for the previous sermons, just to make you aware, Hebrews chapter 11 is the great hall of faith in the Bible. And what happens is the writer of Hebrews begins way at the beginning and he reminds us that God created the world. God created the whole world and we accept that by faith. And then he walks us through some of the great men and women of faith throughout all of history, beginning with Abel, who we saw previously, going on to Enoch, and then last week we looked at Noah, and I am really excited because today we get to look at Abraham. And Abraham is the father of our faith. That's we see that in the New Testament. We're learned about that, and so many things we see for the first time in the life of Abraham. But we remember the whole point of us looking at these men and looking at these women is that you and I, just like the men and women of old, are called to live by, can you say it? Faith. One more time, we're called to live by
faith.
Amen. So I'm going to read the even numbered or the odd numbered verses because that's the kind of guy I am, and you can read the even numbered verses. Let's begin verse number one. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Together? For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now I want to make sure you're paying attention, because whether I'm reading the verse or you're reading the verse, when we see the word faith, will you just humor me this morning and say it good and loud? Can we do that? Whenever we see it. So I'm going to begin now. So whether it's my verse or your verse, you're going to say that word faith with me. Verse number three, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse four, by faith, read with me, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh, by
faith.
Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by
faith.
By Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By
faith
he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now let's just, because I want to hear it one more time, let's just read the first part of verse 13. These all died in
faith.
Let's pray. Lord, help us to walk by faith and not by sight. I pray, God, that as the word goes forth this morning, as we look at Abraham, as we look at Sarah, Lord, I just pray that our hearts would be challenged, our hearts would be stirred. Please help me this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. I'd like to talk to you, thinking about Abraham, thinking about Sarah, about footsteps of faith. Footsteps of faith. Now, there's actually two sections in Hebrews chapter 11 about Abraham. And I'm just going to do the first one. You can ask my dad if we're going to have another Abraham message or not. I'm not sure, but I'm just giving you part of the story today, and we'll leave that up to him for next week. But Abraham and Sarah, Footsteps of Faith. Anybody got an idea why I'm titling this Footsteps of Faith? I'm glad that you have an idea, and I'll share with you my idea. The idea is this, that Abraham was called to get up and to what? To go. And do you realize this morning, if you don't know a lot about the life of Abraham, I'd encourage you to go back to Genesis chapter 12 and just read, because like half of the book of Genesis is all about Abraham. His name started out as, who knows? Abram, which means a father of many. And then his name God changed later on to Abraham, which means a father of a great multitude. And most of you know the irony of him being called, they would say, hello, father of many. Except the problem was he had no kids, none of them. But anyway, it was in a place called Ur of the Chaldees is where Abraham found himself. So what I want you to do is this for me. I want you to have your notes right there in Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to keep coming back there. But I want you to go to the book of Genesis because we're going to look at the footsteps of faith as Abraham and Sarah are literally called to spend the rest of their lives walking around. You think I'm kidding? But that's what they did. Abraham would be a nomad. God was going to call him from where he was living, and he was going to say, Abraham, get up and go. And Abraham wasn't going to stop going until he died. And he was called to walk by faith. And we're going to look at some of those footsteps this morning. Now, I want to just, as everybody in Genesis chapter 12? Awesome. I'm going to turn there as well so that we are ready to go. So you're going to want to have a mark there in Genesis 12, but you're going to want to keep coming back to Hebrews chapter number 11. So, you got your place in Genesis. Look back at our main text, Hebrews 11, and look with me at verse number 8. Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out. Now I want you to look at what it says in Genesis 12, 1. Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Leave where you've been, because Abraham, from this day forward, your life is going to be changed forever. And listen, that is exactly where a walk of faith begins for every man, woman, boy, or girl. Where God says, follow me by faith, and your life is going to be changed forever. You see, a real life of faith. A real life of faith. That word faith gets tossed around a lot today, doesn't it? In fact, it's kind of become a cultural buzzword. If you're watching the news or you're listening to a radio interview or something like that, they'll say, well, that person's faith is important to him. Or that woman's faith is important to her. And people will kind of just use faith generically. But you and I know that faith is only as good as the object or the person that we put our faith in. You understand what I mean by that? I can have great, great, great faith in my ability, and this is an overused illustration, you'll have to forgive me, but like you said, we're tired this morning. I can have great, great faith in my ability to fly. And there have been people that are a bit delusional and have had that kind of faith, and they've climbed up onto buildings, and with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their strength, they believe they could fly. And you can jump, but all of that faith in the world isn't going to help you, is it? Not at all. Sadly today, there are people that have great, great faith in the wrong things. Misplaced faith. And faith in the wrong things is only going to let you down, and going to let you down hard. But then, there are people whose faith is very, very small, whose faith is weak. Sometimes their faith even falters. Sometimes they even have doubts. Sometimes they even fail. But you know, the great thing is, their faith, though it's small, though it's weak, though it's not great and mighty, it's placed in the right person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's God himself. And it doesn't matter. You don't have to have great faith. You just have to have a little bit of faith, and God will take that. He will work with it, and he'll do great things in your life. But there's no such thing as faith that doesn't change your life. There's no such thing as faith that doesn't change your life. That's the most important thing that you could get from the message this morning. And there's no such thing as, it's not like, well, I have my life, I have the things that I like about my life, and then I'm going to bring a little bit of faith into my life. That's how a lot of people in our world today view faith or view any kind of religion or anything. I'll add a little bit of faith to my life and it will make me a better person. But that's not faith in Jesus. That's not the kind of faith that we're going to see in Abraham's life. You see, it's a faith that was not a part of his life, but it was a faith that became his life. It was a faith that defined his life. So the first thing I'd have you notice this morning, number one, on the back of your handout, number one, I'd have you notice the call of God. I'd like you to notice the call of God on the life of Abraham. You saw it in Hebrews 11, verse number 8, where it says, Abraham, when he was what? When he was called. When he was called. You see, Abraham had a very, very different plan for his life. Abraham lived in a place called Ur of the Chaldees. Anybody been there before? Didn't think so. Ur of the Chaldees is where Abraham lives. Now, you've got to understand this too, that Abraham's family were not worshipers of Jehovah God. They were not. In fact, let me read this Bible reference to you from the book of Joshua. If you're a fast turner, you may be able to even get there and read it. But it's in Joshua chapter number 24. If you're not there, just listen. Verses 2 and 3, you can jot them down and look them up later. And Joshua said unto all the people, this is many, many years later. He said to all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. Even Terah, stay with me now. Even Terah, stay with me now. You can stay with me. Even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor. Now I want you to know, to listen to this. And they served other gods. And they served other gods. So, let me read that again to you. Joshua reminds them that Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, all Abraham and his family, God says, I took them from the other side of the flood and led them throughout the land of Canaan. He said, they served other gods. So think about Abraham. One day, Abraham is doing his thing. And you've got to imagine, all of the people around, they worshipped multiple gods. Every culture back then worshipped, they had moon gods and sun gods and star gods and tree gods and river gods and flower gods and every single god that you could imagine, they had them. So if you can imagine Abram in his place, in his home, he knows the stories. He's heard about Adam and Eve. He's heard about Enoch. He's heard about Noah. He's heard about all of these great men from times past, and he knows that they served Jehovah. But to Abraham, or Abram at the time, Jehovah is just like another one of his gods on the shelf. You understand the significance of that? So Abraham probably was involved in meditation, as many of them were in those cultures, and he would maybe come into his room, and you've got to imagine this Eastern Babylonian type environment, and on the walls or on the floor or over on the shelf over here, there's idols and there's drawings and there's statues. And all the people would religiously pray to the idols, worship the statues, the moon god, the sun god, the star god, the flower god, the tree god, the grass god, every god you can imagine. And as Abram is going through the worship of his false gods in his daily life, this is his plan. One day, he hears a voice. Abram, whoa. Abram, whoa. And he's looking at all the shelves. You guys never talked to me before. Which, And you know I'm dramatizing that and making that up. You get it. But you just imagine. Because God, Elohim, El Shaddai, Jehovah, Yahweh, he is a God like no other God. And Abraham heard the call of God, and get this now, the call of God was discernible. Because unlike the sun god, the moon god, the star god, the tree god, the flower god, the grass god, and every god that you could imagine, unlike them, the God who created him knew his name. Aren't you glad God knows your name today? Aren't you glad that God knows who you are? He knows everything about you. And the great thing is when God speaks, he speaks to people individually. And if it hasn't happened to you yet, you might be like, whoa, what kind of church did I walk into? Okay? I'm not saying you're going to be, you know, watching TV someday and you're going to hear boom in the room. But what I'm saying this is not quite the same as Abraham. But if you'll take time to open this book and to read the words of it, it will speak to you like no other book has ever spoken to you before. Because in this book, we find the very words of God. And it may have been supernatural for Abram, but it's just as supernatural for us, because you know when the Holy Spirit of God spoke to your heart, you saw those words on the page, or you heard those words preached by a preacher, or you had a friend share with you the words of God, and you said, whoa, wait a minute, none of these other gods have ever spoken to me before. The God of money has never spoken to me before. You're like, I don't have a, yeah, you may just worship the God of money. You say, boy, the God of sex has never spoken to me like that before. The God of my power and my position, the God of my prosperity, all those other things that I live for, all those other things that I worship, they never spoke to me quite like Jesus spoke to me through the Word of God. And Abraham, and here's what's so amazing, Abraham heard the voice of the Lord, and it was discernible. It was like nothing else he'd ever heard, he'd never experienced before. After all, did you notice what God said to him? He said, hey, Abram, get up. Okay? When God talks, you get up. And go. Okay, God, I'm ready to go. I got my map out. Ancient world. Map of the ancient world. All right. Where am I going? Oh, I'll show you. Okay. Show away. No, I'll show you. Yeah, I'm ready. No, you just go and I'll show you. So God says to Abraham, he says, take your family, get up, get out of your father's house, and I want you to go. God's voice was discernible. Listen, I've already alluded to it a little bit, but there are a lot of voices in the world. Have you picked up on that yet? You don't have to live very long, but there are all kinds of voices saying, hey, do this with your life. Do this with your life. Go in this direction. Live for this. Enjoy this. Pursue that. But Abraham recognized, first he had to recognize who God was, and he had to trust that God was good. Now notice what the call of God is. So it's a discernible call, but notice this. He calls us to depend on him. Did you see that in Hebrews 11? Down in verse number 8 again. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out. What's it say next? I lost you, huh? Go back to Hebrews 11:8. We'll all get back together again. By faith, Abraham, verse 8, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed God, and he went out. Then what's it say? Not knowing whither he went. God said, you just got to trust me. You've just got to believe that my way for you is better than your way for you. He gave him a promise too. And back in Genesis 12, he said, Abram, 12:2 says, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed. You say, hey, you know, all of that walking by faith stuff and stepping out by faith and trusting God, that's a great message for those young people. Yeah, like Abram, 75 years old young. That's a great message for people just starting out in life. Listen, Abram had all of his plans made. He was all set. He was all done. But God says, it doesn't matter what age you're at. It doesn't matter what stage you're at. It doesn't matter if you're 25, 35, or 85. God has a purpose for our lives, and he just calls us to step out by faith and to walk with him. And he doesn't promise to show us exactly where that's going to be. But then, as I said at the beginning, we look at these guys, like in Hebrews chapter 11. Did you notice how Abram was described in Hebrews 11? Great man of faith. You go back and you read the story. How was Abram's faith? Started out great. You read the story. Abram went out. He walked by faith courageously. God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to let you do all kinds of things in my life. And then trouble would come. And what would happen to his faith? Maybe I better try this instead. Maybe I better go. You can read it. You can find out all about it. And the point is this. When God describes him in Hebrews chapter 11, guess what parts he leaves out? All of those failures. All of those faults. All of those mistakes, because listen, we think we have to be men and women of great faith, and I could never be like Abraham, and I could never be like the pastor, I could never be like those missionaries, but could you be maybe a little bit like Abraham and make a whole lot of mistakes in your life, but God still say, I love that man, I love that woman because they had faith. Maybe not a whole lot of faith. Maybe not the greatest faith. I might not have as much faith as you, but God said, if you could just have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, just the faith of a mustard seed, I could use you to move a mountain. It doesn't take a lot. It just takes willingness and trust. And you're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess it up. But when God looks at you, because faith brings grace and that covers all of our sin, just like Abraham, when God describes us, he doesn't describe us by our faults. He doesn't describe us by our failures. He doesn't describe us by our sin. He describes us by his grace through our faith in him. But it begins with listening to the voice of the Lord. You're going to see it. You're going to hear it in the Word of God, in the pages of the Scripture. He calls us to depend on him. So then secondly now, let's look at Abram's journey. Let's look at the journey. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at verse number 9. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. That's what I began with. Remember I said that he was going to walk around for the rest of his life? Well, that's exactly what he did. He sojourned. He lived here, he dug a little well, had some sheep, and his flocks and herds grew. He lived over here, and he moved over there, and then he set up his, you're going to see that word tabernacle later on. We saw that earlier. What's a tabernacle? Anybody know? What's a tabernacle? It's a tent. It's a tent. Now, there was later a special tabernacle that was used to worship, but literally, a tabernacle is a tent. And Abram never stopped anywhere long enough to put a foundation in. He never stopped anywhere long enough to build a frame and to put a roof on it. He simply pitched his tent as he followed the Lord. Can I ask you a question? Would you be content with that plan if that was God's plan for your life? And I think you know what I mean by that. It's not literally to live in a tent. But if God says, no, you've got these great goals, these great ambitions, but really what I want you to do is just walk by faith with me and pitch your tent over here, pitch your tent over there, be willing to change your plans, be willing to follow me anywhere I take you. If you hear the voice of the Lord, would you be willing to respond with that kind of faith? He sojourned in the land. Now notice this, though. I want to talk about what this journey was like. First of all, in this journey, and as we journey by faith, just like Abraham, we have to remember God's promises, even if we haven't experienced them yet. Back in Hebrews 11, look at verse number 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of what? Just a little Bible trivia here that I'll give you. Three things that were wrapped up in the promise that God gave him. The land, a seed, and by seed I don't mean you put in the ground, I mean seed as an offspring. So God said, Abram, I'm going to give you this whole land. Abram, God's going to give you a seed, children, and a lineage, a great nation. And then the third part of it was a blessing. The land, the seed, and the blessing. The threefold promise God gave to Abram. But you know what? Abraham, he journeyed. And he walked. He must have looked kind of funny walking around all those years as people watched him. What's your name? I'm the father of many. As he walked around. This land, this is mine, and the land of my children. Oh, really? We've been here for generations. This is, Abram, you're a little confused. Pay no attention to that crazy old wizard from Ur. He's got it in his mind that this is his land. No, this is mine. And this is the land that God has promised to me. By the way, it's still Abram's land. It still belongs to the children of Israel. And the UN or anybody can't change that because God gave the land to Abram. Okay? That's how that solves the whole issue. Now, he must have looked pretty funny. There he is, father of many, walking around. There he is. Did you hear? Abram owns all of this. This is the land of promise. And God said, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. But you know what started to happen? As funny as Abram may have seemed at first, as crazy it was for him to believe those promises, people started to know something, notice something. You know what they noticed? They noticed this. You know, if I were you, I wouldn't really mess with Abram. It really does seem like if you give Abram a little trouble comes back to you. And God just slowly but surely through different, you got to go and read the story. I can't give it to you all now. But through event after event, circumstance after circumstance, God began to prove to Abram that he was going to fulfill that promise. Listen, we go through, sometimes in life it literally feels like we're just wandering around. We're just walking around. God, am I ever going to get there? You remember when some of you have kids? Some of you are, you're past that stage. The famous words from the back seat, say them with me. Are we there yet? We'll get there when we get there, and I'll let you know, all right? Are we there yet? Sometimes we can make the mistake in our Christian life, especially now when we're young. You can make the mistake of thinking, God, when will I get there? Am I there yet? Have I gotten where you're taking me? Have I gotten where you're taking me? Listen. As a believer, we are never waiting for the will of God. We are always living in the will of God. Some of you, that may not be significant. Others, it may have very great significance. But we have hopes. We have dreams. We have things that we believe that God is going to do in our lives. And we ought to have all those things. If I didn't believe there were promises yet unfilled for my life, what a discouraging way to live. But at the same time, I have to say, God, it's your will for me to sojourn where I'm sojourning right now and to walk with him by faith. So he had to believe the promise before he even experienced it yet. But notice this too, back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a what? Did you all say that with me? Hebrews 11, verse number 9. He sojourned in the land of promise as in a what? Strange country. Abraham was okay with this, and unfortunately a lot of Christians aren't okay with this. You can't expect to always fit in the world and society around you. Did you catch that? That was really important. Abram said, I'm sojourning here in a strange country. It didn't so much mean that he was walking around and he saw the Canaanites and the Amorites and he's like, you people are really strange, you're weird. It wasn't that kind of a thing. But as Abraham lived a little bit longer, as Abraham walked with God a little bit more, the people around him began to notice something, and he began to notice something else about himself. And he thought, you know what? I don't always really fit in around here. I don't really necessarily fit the mold of all the other people around me. Listen, when we live a life of faith, when we walk like Abraham by faith, listen, we live in a strange country. Now, I love this country, don't you? We're going to celebrate 4th of July pretty soon. I love the flag. I love the red, white, and blue. I love all of those things. But I think spiritually we have to understand this morning that this world is not my home. As the old songwriter wrote, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Now, we're here to do good in this world. We're here to make a difference. But listen, Christian, one thing that will destroy your faith is if you feel like a big goal in your life is just to fit in with everybody else around you. You're like, yeah, you let those teenagers know they can't fit in. No, I'm talking to moms and dads and old people too. I've said this many times. Abram's life, it was different. Now, it wasn't different in the sense that Abraham was mean to other people around him or looked down on other people around him. In fact, you find that people in the other nations around him, they had tremendous respect for Abraham. It wasn't perfect. But by his example of faith, people around him had great respect. But he did not always fit in. Are you okay with that? In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, that he's chosen us to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And it's not as popular today as it maybe once was, but Christians, we ought to be different as evidence in the lives that we live and in the way that we walk. Not because, well, we're Christians and we're the good people. No, but we follow God. He gave himself for us. He's changed my life. Listen, it's in small things, not just big things. But I love the fact that now as my son started to get, he got to play baseball this year and last year. And he loves it. I mean, he loves it. But can I tell you something about sports in America today? People don't just love sports, they live sports. I mean, they live it. And so it's right from the very beginning. Right from the very beginning, as a family, it's got to be, listen, would it be the end of our Christian faith as a family if he played the Sunday night games when church was going on? No. Of course that wouldn't be the end of our walk with God. But you know what? We say, listen, we're Christians. And it's not that you can't play that game because we have to be in church. Well, that's a great way to embitter your kids against the house of God. If by God's grace, if we can develop attitudes in our homes, we say, hey, guys, there's nothing more important than what God is doing in our family, and I don't want you to miss out on that. So we're just not going to do those games because we're going to be in church when God's people meet. Or, hey, we're going on vacation. Dad, it's vacation. Yeah, we're going to go. We're going to be in church on vacation. Or, hey, we're going to be involved in missions. And we're going to be missions-minded. Or we're going to follow the Lord wherever he leads us. And you know, I'm just trying to pick out I'm really just giving you examples from where I live and the things that in my life that I have to deal with. And you could tell stories in your life where you've had to say, you know what? I'm not going to act like everybody else around. I'm not going to fit in. But it's not just, sometimes we always put it to make ourselves look the best where we say, well, I'm not going to fit in. And so I'm not going to participate in those bad conversations at work. How about this? How about I don't fit in, so at work, I'm going to be the one that helps. I'm not going to be the one that gossips. You know what will happen? Then you'll start to stand out in a peculiar, strange way, but for good and for the glory of God. Or I don't fit in here, so I'm going to be the one to speak an encouraging word. And you know, I could go all over with this. But the bottom line is, we've got to just get used to the fact that the most exciting privilege in our life is that we get to follow God. We get to follow Christ. So it doesn't matter if I don't fit in this situation or in that situation, because the last part of his journey here, he didn't expect to always fit in, because he was letting God build his life. Look at verse number 10 of Hebrews 11. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He realized, it's okay, because this is not my final destination. This is not my purpose. I love that idea of foundations, because Abram dwelled in tents. He never, ever, in his whole life, he never laid what? A foundation. He never laid a foundation. And I just see so many pictures with that where it's like, God, I'm never going to, help me, God, never to put down, you know, we talk about putting down roots. We know that. And in some ways, that's a good way to live. You know, we're going to put down roots somewhere and build a life and build a family. Hey, don't put down your own roots. Let God build the foundation of your life. Let God anchor you in where he wants to anchor you. And when he wants to move you, let him move you, because the only place where you're really going to put down roots is in heaven. The only place where that foundation is really going to be settled, where it's really going to be secured there and finalized, is in heaven. So Abram says, it doesn't matter if I live in tents, it doesn't matter if I don't have what the other people have, it doesn't matter if I live differently, because the foundation is laid up for me in a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm not going to build that city, he's going to build it. That's his journey. Then finally, I want to show you this morning, as we come to the end of the story, we saw the call of God, we saw the journey of faith, and now I want us to look at the victories that they experienced by faith. Sometimes, you see, the journey can take a while. And sometimes it can be a little bit discouraging. Sometimes it can be long. Look at verse number 11 of Hebrews 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself, the wife of Abraham, received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Now, go back to Genesis. I got to show you how this happened. Look at Genesis chapter 12 again. Look at verse number 2. And I will make of thee a great what? But he didn't have what? What did he still not have? A son. No son. Skip over to chapter number 15. Chapter number 15. Look at verse number 1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. Look at verse number 2. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go what? Childless. Go to Genesis chapter number 16. Verse number 1. Now Sarai, that's Sarah, Abram's wife, read these next words with me, bare him no children. Now look at the end of verse 16 of that same chapter, or the beginning of verse number 16. And Abram was 80, that's 86 years old. You know how much time has passed? You know how long Abram has sojourned here? 11 years. He's been walking for 11 years. And do you know what's happened? God's blessed him. God has blessed Abraham. God has blessed Sarah. His herds have gotten bigger. The territories where they graze, there's more. The servants who work for Abraham have increased into the hundreds. But after 11 years, still no boy. Still no son. And I'm sure Sarai was proud of her husband. Sarah was she was proud of all that they'd accumulated and how the homestead had expanded, and she's proud of the reputation that Abraham had earned at this point. But all that's well and good. She likes the land. She likes the blessing. But what she really wanted was a son. What she really wanted was the boy. 11 years pass. Still no son. She was in her early 60s when the promise was given to her. Pretty incredible for someone in their 60s to have a child. But you know what? God said it. Abraham had great faith, so all right. But now 11 years have passed. She's in her 70s. The end of chapter number 16, I want you to see this again. Look at verse 16 of chapter 16. And Abram was how old? 86 years old. Now read verse number 1 of the next chapter. Chapters are funny things in the Bible. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9. Do you know what happened between the word Abram at the end of verse 16 and the word and in verse number 1? Do you know what happened? 13 years happened. 13 more years. Sarah, 65. Another birthday, 66. Another birthday, 67. For 13 more years, the herds get bigger, the land is bigger, there's more wells, there's more tents. Everywhere she looks, there's more of everything, but still no son. No little boy, no baby. They tried other schemes. They said, well, what if one of these servants, couldn't he be the heir? God says, no, it's going to be the child of promise from Sarah. Oh, well, what about my handmaid, Hagar? What if Abram has a child with her, Ishmael? No. And so for 24 years total, they sojourned in the land of promise, and Sarah never saw that baby boy. And then in verse number 17, or chapter number 17, verse number 15. And God said unto Abram, 24 years later again, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah. That means princess. And I will bless her and give thee a son of her also. I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Verse 17, this is really important. Then Abraham fell on his face, say it, and laughed. Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? This part of the story isn't in Hebrews chapter 11. God leaves this serious lapse of faith out. But I want you to see something this morning. Abraham and Sarah had given up hope. So when the very voice of God comes to Abram, I don't know what Abram thought. Maybe he thought he was getting old and crazy. And he laughed. Really, God? Okay, this 100-year-old body? And that old woman of mine? You're going to get, and God said, it's going to happen. Verse 19, God said, God didn't laugh, although he may get the last laugh, but stick with me. Verse 19, and God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him forever. Wow. But it wasn't just Abraham. In chapter number 18, two angels are sent to Abram and Sarah, and the angels come. And they're talking with Abram, and it says in verse number 9 of the next chapter, chapter 18, they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Verse 12, look at 12 of chapter 18. Therefore, Sarah, what? She laughed. These weren't laughs of joy or pleasure, but they're laughs of discouragement. It's like, God, it's okay. It's okay. It doesn't have, we're okay now. You gave us so much. It's been good. We've got servants. There's Ishmael. There's this. It's okay. But we know we're not going to. We know we might as well just give up on the dream. It's funny, but no. Verse 13, the Lord said unto Abram, why did Sarah laugh? Sarah laughed within herself, remember? Why did she laugh? Saying, shall I of a surety bear a child when I am old? Verse 15, Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. He said, nay, you did laugh. Again, what I love about this is God didn't include any of that in Hebrews 11. It's almost to God like, and that's why I say I want to encourage you this morning, you don't have to have a whole lot of faith. God's not looking for perfect Christian soldiers who never doubt and never fear and never tremble. He's just looking for a little bit of faith. And when we're weak and we stumble, sometimes we need the voice of the Lord to say, hey, you stop laughing at what I promised to do for you. You don't give up. You don't give in. As the children's song, cheer up, ye saints of God. There's nothing to worry about. And so Sarah's rebuked by the Lord and she laughs. And then time goes by. Days go by, weeks go by, no son, no son, no son, no child. We get all the way to verse chapter number 21. And one morning, Sarah woke up and she felt a little different. And Abraham looked at her after maybe a week or two and said, "Something a little. You look a little bit different. You have a glow about you." And all of a sudden, Sarah realized, I'm going to have a baby. I'm 90 years old. Chapter 21, verse number 1. And I just love this. I love this verse. I love it. Did I tell you that I love it? Because it's the typical understatement of the Bible. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. The Lord visited Sarah. And she said, and this 90-year-old, her belly started to grow. And she realized God has fulfilled the promise. And you talk about laughter. I bet you there was some serious laughter for 9 months. Can you believe it? And everywhere people went, everywhere Sarah and Abram went, Abram's like, what's with Sarah? Did you not hear? We're having a baby. They didn't say we back then. She's having a baby. She's with child. And Abraham would go around. What's new, old man? I'm gonna have a son. And Sarah, the Lord visited me. Listen, don't give up on the dream of having a godly home. Setbacks happen. People mess up. Life gets ugly. God's not looking for a great warrior of faith. He's looking for a little faith. Can I get an amen right there? I mean, come on. He's not looking for, and we think of that, the great women of the Bible like Sarah. She laughed at God. And God, the Lord visited her. The Lord visited her. Back to verse 21. Some of you know where this is going, or chapter 21. Some of you know where this is going, and I said God gets the last laugh. Verse 2 of chapter 21, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abram called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him. Say it. Laughter. That's what the name means. Laughter. What are you going to name that boy, Abram? Well, we laughed at God, and he said, oh yeah? Well, you better name your son Laughter. And they laughed. Except it wasn't tears of discouragement. It wasn't a chuckle of doubt and discouragement. It wasn't a chuckle that we had given up. It's a chuckle that said, we didn't think God could do it. We thought it wasn't going to happen. We were unfaithful, but he was faithful. He's faithful. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, listen, church. God's asked us to follow him by faith, like Abraham. We know it begins with a personal relationship with Jesus. But he's constantly showing himself strong for us. Has your faith gotten weak? Have you gotten discouraged? Have you even chuckled sometimes sarcastically? Don't give up. Walk with God. He's never going to give up on you. He'll be faithful to you. And because of that, Isaac would be born. The nation of Israel would come. And all of that was just a picture of a son who would come who was... Is that on? That organ still on? We got some noise coming out of here. You heard it too, right? Okay. Must be that bass. All right. It's off. There's noise, but it's gone now. Isaac was just a picture of Jesus who would come. And for all of our lack of faith, for all of our doubt and fear, Jesus replaces that. He was the true faithful one. He was the one who went to the cross. He was the one who gave himself for us. And because of that, there's nothing that can stand up against you. If God be for us, who can be against us? Would you bow your heads with me as we close in prayer this morning? We're going to close in prayer. Maybe you're here this morning, as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, maybe you're here this morning, you'd say, Pastor Ethan, I'm not like a church person. I'm not a real religious person. You know, this isn't for me. Listen, the good news is that you don't have to have a lot of faith. You don't have to be a great person of faith. You simply have to understand that you need Jesus. You simply have to understand that you're a sinner. I'm not asking you to become a great religious person. I'm not asking you to come to church every Sunday. I'm asking you to do one thing, and that is trust Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins and make you his child, and then he'll begin a work of faith in your life. You don't have to be a great person of faith. You just have to have enough faith that says, Jesus, I believe you died and rose again for me, and today I put my faith in you. Save me from my sin. Is there anybody here that would say, you know what? I've never done that. I've never begun a simple life of faith. If that's you, all you need to do this morning is, in your heart, pray a simple prayer to the Lord. You could pray something like this. You could say, and you could do it right now. You could even repeat it after me. And in your heart, you could say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve punishment for my sin. I don't have a lot of faith, but I believe that you'll forgive me. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. And today I want to put my faith in you. If you pray a prayer, something like that, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't take great faith. It just takes you and I to just simply reach out by faith and say, Lord, I need you. Save me. Is there anybody here that would say, I've never done that before, but this morning, remember, nobody's looking around, but I would like to pray for you. So privately, if you did that this morning, if you said, I never trusted Jesus before, but today, I put my faith in Jesus to save me, would you just quickly put your hand up, just me and you, put your hand up, put it down. So today was the day I trusted Christ as my Savior.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.